Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to your favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane, with me, Rich Wilson. And this week I'm joined by poet Jace Delaney. Hello, mate.
Hello, how are you doing? All right, Rich?
Very well, mate, very well. You find me in a hotel down in the West Country. That's why it looks like I'm in some kind of dorm. Beautiful place. Whereabouts are you?
I am in Trowbridge, in Wiltshire.
Oh, so I'm near you. I'm literally... Mate, we could have done this in person.
We could have done that in a hotel room, look, together.
We could have done it. Mate, we just... Communication and geography, not our strong point. No. The irony that we're doing a podcast about opening up and talking.
Communication is fantastic. Well, either way, it's lovely to meet you guys.
And you, mate. And you're wearing some quality garms there as well, mate. Bit of feeler. Hello.
I like to be smart. I'm old school, mate. I'm stuck in the 80s. And as you can see,
it's all coming back. I've been rocking a red Lacoste knitted jumper this week that I picked up off Vinted. Proper, mate. It's like proper. I was a bit too young, maybe a year or so out for the original sort of 80s casual look. Yeah, well, I didn't have the money either, so.
Not with Lacoste anyway.
No, making up for it now.
Lacoste, you an arm and a leg. Yeah. That's your riches. Get the best. But yeah, I like all of this.
And they're good. Yeah, it's lovely. Pink as well, which is, I love seeing men in pink. I think it's. Yeah. Because growing up, obviously, well, I don't know about there were in certain places you'd get a bit of stick
and a beating, probably,
and a beating for wearing pink, yeah.
But for now, wearing pink, yeah. No, I don't really care about stuff like that. You wear what you want,
exactly. Where did you grow up, Jace?
I grew up in Melksham, so not far from where I am now. I'm in Trowbridge,
but
Melksham, which is not too far from Bath, but yeah, pretty local, really, all my life,
really.
I'm stuck in Trowbridge now. I say stuck, I shouldn't say that. I moved in with my wife. She had a house over here, and I was in Melksham. So and I work for the council, which the council's base is here, literally just across the road from where I live.
Amazing.
So, I've not really gone that far. Just been 7 miles up the road from where I grew up.
Brilliant, mate. Well, we're talking about moving over this way. We're looking at Froome.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Froome's lovely.
Froome is lovely. I was there the week. Yeah. And my mother-in-law lives in Shepton Mallet, so it just makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, going to come over this way. Lovely.
Well, it's nice as well. Is that where the prison is, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah.
I went there once, and it's an escape room in there. I recommend that. Real great fun in the prison. And they do it at night as well, people. I didn't do that one. I did the day one.
Oh, but that's great.
Got out with about 2 seconds to go.
Oh, really?
Great fun if you're into that kind of thing. But yeah, Shepton Mallet's a lovely place too.
Yeah. I haven't done this great escape room, but that sounds the perfect place.
It is. You literally are in it. You're in a cell, a proper cell. There's nothing in there apart from a few clues, which you've got to find to solve this riddle, which is on the wall. But it is great fun.
Yeah.
Really great fun.
We've literally just met. And I was intrigued. I was having a look at your stuff, and I'm like, okay, yeah, you're. I think we're sort of very similar in the fact that we're in between that kind of sort of lot of lad culture, but also there's a bit more to us. Like we're into, like you say, like you're a poet, and we're into, you know, like we're into art and literature and poetry. But there's also that kind of, you know, like we've talked about earlier with this, with the clothing.
Yeah.
We're right down the middle.
We are, mate. We are. Yeah, I am a poet. It was not, I was never interested in poetry at school.
Really?
You know, not at all. Not at all. For me, mate, it was, well, I was with my granddad, God bless him, when he passed away. Mm. And my dad and I took him out to the Hertz about 3 a.m. And I went home and I wrote a poem about him called Irish Hero, Big Irish Family. And that was the first thing. And I read it at his funeral. Mm. That was my goodbye to him, and everybody liked it. And from then on, I would write poetry for people. I'd ask them to donate some money to charity, to Dorothy House, which is not too far as a hospice. And I would write my poem, be it a nice poem, a love poem, a sad poem, whatever. Yeah. And it kind of went from there. It just sort of grew from that to where I am now, really, which is kind of crazy. I've got three poetry books out.
Oh, amazing. And
a comedy book, which you might like. It's a bit adult. Okay. And I'm on the BBC tonight, funnily enough, my poems for the second time. Yeah, and on Saturday. And then the Lounges thing, as you know, Tuesday, which is my first, do we call it a gig, showcase, with my readings. So it's madness for me, mate. Detraction and this, God bless you, having me on here.
Mate.
It's lovely to have a chat.
Yeah. Is it, because I always have, there's a lot of comedians come on. And I love that. And, you know, they're people I work with, and some people I'm just fans of. But it's nice to talk to people that are doing other things as well.
Sure.
And I'm fascinated with how you got into poetry, especially as you've said, you weren't interested in it growing up.
Not at all.
So,
not in the slightest.
So it was literally just that, your grandfather's funeral, which was the catalyst.
The catalyst, yeah. And for me as well, I don't know about you, mate. I'm an old school bloke. I am absolutely rubbish about speaking about my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I was back then, I couldn't really do it. And so I would write them down and make them rhyme. I just could do that. And that helped me get out of me, sort of a purge.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I was brave enough, I started to share that with people. And they liked it and they resonated to it. And that's where that come on as well, the emotional side of it. Because most of my poetry, as you've probably seen, is about love, life, grief, and mental health.
Yeah.
I've had my own battles with mental health as well. I had a friend, Rich, when I was growing up, straight from primary school. First day, me and him, just like that.
Yeah.
Best of mates. All through the primary school, we did stuff together. And then we went to secondary school, drifted off a bit. As you do, women, life, and moving houses and going in different directions academically. I went more the academic route. He went more down the stock diving off and taking drugs route kind of thing. Mm. And we didn't see each other for quite a while. And then in the pub one night, I met him and we got drunk. And it was lovely. It's fantastic. And on the way home, we got into a bit of a fight with each other.
Oh, wow.
You might sort of... blokes fight, best mates fight sometimes. Yeah. That's what blokes do. We don't sit down and chat about stuff, not when we're young. And we had a fight, and the last thing I said to him was F off. After it was just a 50-50 stupid little thing. And sadly, a little while after that, he overdosed.
No, mate.
Yeah, and mate, and he passed away.
Oh, fuck.
It ruined me.
Yeah, of course.
I didn't get the chance to say goodbye.
No.
Thing is, though, Rich, I didn't know at the time. I mean, there's over a 10-year stretch in my life where I was on self-destruct. I would just go out, get pissed, just look for a fight, just self-destruct. I didn't know what the reason was at the time. And after about 10 years, I was having a chat with his mum, and she'd say to me, you know, he would forgive you. Mates fight. Boys fight. There's nothing to that. She didn't worry about it at all, and that released me from that. But for 10 years, mate, I was
amazing
on it. And so my own mental health from that, I can sort of relate to the anxiety, to depression, to everything, what I write. So I can feel it. That's why I write the poetry, because I can actually feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And to share it with people, to they feel it as well.
Yeah.
I love it. you know, it doesn't matter if I get £1,000 for a poem. If somebody messages me and says, you know, that poem that you wrote about anxiety, it's bang on, it's how I feel, but I couldn't have done that. I couldn't have written it down. But if I read it, it does help, mate.
That's amazing, mate. That's
lovely to me.
Isn't it? That something like that you've done touches people in a way where it makes them go, do you know what?
Yeah.
I need to tell that person that it's touched me. And it's like when we do with comedy, you have people coming up afterwards going, mate, I needed that. And you're like, oh, nice one. I appreciate that.
And
they go, oh, exactly what I needed. And reading your poetry, it's like, when people post things like quotes from people online, and every now and again, one will pop up that is just exactly where you're at that moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I imagine, like with your poetry, there'll be, I know, once I get right into it and I go through it, and I know for a fact there's going to be something in there, and I'm going to go, that's exactly how I'm feeling, but I didn't know how to put it into words. And that's such a beautiful thing. And it's such a beautiful thing that you've discovered that you have that ability.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Because I liked English, but there was no poetry we did at school, and I certainly would enjoy it. I think it's just a fluke of luck. It just helps me. It's my emotional purge. I call it, you know, word therapy, poetry therapy. But most of my poetry is like that, so it's quite emotional. I can write nice, happy ones and silly ones as well. But I've been writing poetry for weddings.
Oh, really? Vows.
Yeah, and for ladies that want to say something, you know, it's normally the best man stands up and the groom thanks everybody, but the bride doesn't normally do something. So I've been writing poems for brides and bride's mothers on the day to read out and make some more memories. That's quite nice to do.
Yeah, that's lovely. Well. Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, and you can make it really personal, like, you know, really unique.
I do a life story for them, you know, like the day they met, to the dates, to the meeting the mother-in-laws and all the rest of it. I can just whack it all into a story. It takes me a while. They give me all the details, and then backwards and forwards to get it right. And then perfect. That's another memory that they can cherish.
Fantastic.
That, that mum's read out this. And I do say to them as well, just don't worry about it to say that I did it. Say you did it.
Yeah, nice, man. Yeah.
It's a white lie. I'm gonna tell no one.
Yeah, that's nice as well, that you don't need that credit. You're just like, look, nice thing. And that's out in the universe now, and you do with it what you want. That's lovely.
Love it.
How did you, it must have felt, the relief you must have felt after your friend died and putting yourself through all that hurt because you were blaming yourself. The relief you must have felt when his mum said, he'd have forgiven you, mate. That
changed me, mate.
How did that feel? That must have been incredible.
Yeah, because that's stupid me. Didn't really, even at the start, I didn't realise that was what was making me angry. Mm. It was literally, it's like a window opened in my life, and I stopped drinking like an idiot and looking for fights and being an absolute knob, because I was to everybody. Yeah. Any relationships I was in, to my family, I didn't know really deeply know why. I just, I'm a different man. And hence the poetry and trying to be nice for people, make the right poetry for people that they can feel and they can share, and it makes good memories. Yeah. That's what I do now, above everything else, really.
Mm.
And you're absolutely right. It changed me. That from that day, I try to be a nicer chap.
But it's funny, isn't it? You don't realise how much the things from the past, I mean, I know this is a cliche and it's obvious now, but the things from the past that you don't realise are causing you such trauma, such trouble, because I've been the same, you know. Yeah. I'm now at a point where I'm like, oh man, I've fucked up nearly every relationship I've ever been in.
Yeah.
Because I hadn't dealt with, and it was always, I was always like, oh, but it's them and it's them and they haven't done this and they're doing that and blah, blah, blah. And I look back now, I'm like, no, that was you. You did that because you hadn't dealt with that one thing.
Yeah.
That meant you fucked it everywhere along. Because I've been lucky enough to have been in relationships with some wonderful people. And I fucked it every time. So I'm like,
I shouldn't have. But yeah, I reflect that, mate. And we've all got some sort of trauma from something. And I deal with trauma as well with my job.
Right. Okay.
I help people with, I try to help people that have got trauma.
Yeah.
As you can imagine with social workers and that, there's some horrific things that can come to them.
I can imagine.
What they call a TRIM practitioner. And I try to help them with the trauma, but that we've all got some sort of trauma somewhere. Yes. And it can be from grief. Grief is one of the hardest things I think in life you're ever going to go through, because that pain doesn't go. It reduces over the years, but it doesn't go. And I mean, they say it, Rich, and it is a cliche as well. Pain is probably the best tool. It certainly is for me, because I use it. And I've got this pain condition as well. It means that I don't sleep too much.
Okay.
So I'm up. I don't sleep good at all. So I'm a prolific from that writer. Because if I'm up at 1 o'clock in the morning, what am I going to do? I just get my Mac and just start writing.
Yeah.
And I released 3 poetry books in a pace of probably 3 months.
Wow.
From now. And I'm just waiting for an operation that'll sort me out. But yeah, I've just used that time to write poems. So pain can be powerful. And if you do read my poems, you can sort of see that in there. But people like it. And it's got me to being on a BBC tonight and a live gig on Tuesday next week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's great. It's great that you've managed to harness it. Because that's the thing as well. If you're not sleeping, that doesn't help either. That can send you loopy.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It certainly does.
So that, I mean, I know I've just had a baby, so it's not the same, but it's like the other night, we were both up. And he vommed everywhere. So I had to change the bed. And then it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and it's this and it's that. So we've been up, both of us separately up. And then I was on the train yesterday coming up here. And I think I was hallucinating. I was kind of, it's madness.
It is, mate. Yeah, it ruins you as well. No sleep. But I've just been using that time to do that. I'll be sorted out in the end. But trauma, it's in everybody. So whatever degree. But grief is like the main trauma, apart from the incident of my friend. For me, I just don't deal with it very well.
No,
I go into myself and I write poetry, so that's how I deal with it. And I always say to people as well, if with the grief or anxiety is a big thing nowadays, it's recognised. I don't know about you, but I never even heard that word when I was a kid.
We've had a couple of people on. We had Ishan Akbar, comedian, and he was telling me about he's had grief counseling because he lost his mum and he was so close to his mum.
Yeah.
You know, even to the point, because of his culture, he was him and his brother, I think it was, that actually put his mum into the grave, and it's all part of what they do in their culture. And then we had also had Mark Lemon, who goes around, he's another one now, he talks about grief. Because his dad was sadly murdered when he was a kid. So it's interesting to talk to different people about how their different coping mechanisms when it comes to grief. You hit the nail on the head earlier when you went, it doesn't go away.
No. It never goes.
Yeah. You just learn to carry it.
You have to, it's grief management, really. Mm. It's what do you do? What's the best thing for you to cope through every day? Because when you... everyone knows a loss at some point, sadly, and the older you get, the more you get.
Yeah.
That's just the way life is, and what do you do? But there's no answer, really. It's just whatever's best for you. Me, poetry, I can write it down, and it's not going to go away, but it helps a bit. And I tell people that as well. Even if something's wrong with them, they've got anxiety about something, write it down. I'm feeling this today, so and so. I feel so rubbish. I feel rotten because nobody likes me. Write it down, scrunch it up, then chuck it in the bin. And I mean, it's not going to go away, but it kind of helps subconsciously that you've dealt with it a little bit. And for some people, it works. It did for me.
Mm.
Grief's never going to go, sadly. But I try and turn that memory into the nice memories don't you? You think about your childhood with somebody, and my nan hit me bad. I wrote a poem called Empty Chair, and that one got me viral on Instagram. It's a stupid amount of followers now, but that's probably because I put that one on. I've only just started doing videos, like reading, and doing my first live thing. So, but Empty Chair's about my nan. It's a beautiful poem about, if you think about it, there's an empty chair in most people's house. She sat in this particular chair, and of course, when she went, is she in it? Is she still there? That was a powerful poem.
Yeah,
I have to say that one, even for me writing it, there'd be tears coming down my face. I'm not even ashamed to say that, but it's quite powerful.
Yeah,
that one.
Funny with my nan. Yeah. Oh, mate, are you all right?
Yeah.
That's all right. It's all right. This is the thing. People don't realise. You know, it's all very well. Like we all say, oh, you got to talk. I know. You know, loads of people find that difficult. But you've got to try, because it will just build up, and then it will come out in another way, like we've already discussed.
That's right, mate.
And it'll come out in a way that, you'll look like, you'll be like, oh, I don't want to be around that bloke. He's a fucking wanker. And but they don't realise, you don't realise where that's coming from.
Exactly.
My nan, I was really close to my nan. She was such a beautiful woman. My nan quick. But when she was really ill at the end, she was in a home.
Yeah.
And she was going senile, and then it got to a point she couldn't get out of bed. She was just bedridden. She didn't really know who anybody was. And COVID had happened and all that. And I never went and saw her. And I'm I just didn't want to see her like that.
No, I understand that.
But I feel so I do understand that. Yeah, but I feel so guilty about it. But right. I think I'm hoping that she would understand.
I bet any money, yes, because I understand completely why you didn't do that, because that would be a memory that you'll have forever.
You
don't want that, and she wouldn't want that either, mate. So you're bang on in what you say. I mean, the guilt may be there, but you're right. You made the right decision there. And I had a similar thing in my family with an uncle.
Yeah.
And I feel a bit guilty too, but I know it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes the right thing is going to make some emotion somewhere, but that's better than a memory of a nan that you didn't recognize, mate.
Mate, it's true. Because I do, we went, it was just before COVID happens, and I went, and she was in bed then. And then I remember sitting on the bed and I was eating her biscuits. And I remember looking around and then, I remember she had a flat and it was full of ornaments and, but then she's in this home and she's got barely anything. There's a couple of little knick-knacky bits.
Yeah.
And I just was like, fuck. Yeah. All that stuff through life that we gather, all the books and magazines and the records and the shoes and the coats and the whatever else and the knick-knacks and that. And then, when he gets to this point, you're like, what was it all for? Yeah.
Yeah. That's the life side of things, isn't it? Is if you think too deeply like that, like, future, I think you probably would go mad and just be depressed all the time, because we know what's going to happen, but we shouldn't think about it that way. I mean, you're going to naturally, especially when someone goes. I've got a friend at the moment who's in Dorothy Health, God bless him, in the hospice. Someone I used to work with many, many moons ago. That bastard cancer appeared and literally got weeks or whatever, and now it just comes out of nowhere. So I say this to people quite a lot as well. You never know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, when you wake up. If you wake up, enjoy life.
Right.
You know, if you have to, my mindset is do what you like to do. Make every day like it's your last day, if that's what makes you happy. But do whatever it is. If it makes you happy, just do it, because you don't know.
You don't know. Mate, I got to that point because I was like, all that stuff. And then looking around at what I've got and all the shit that I've collected, and I'm like, there's no point to any of this. But then it was like, no, actually, no, it brings you joy.
You know,
and that's the point now. There's no point going, this is just going to be clutter later on. It's like, right now, I love the fact. Yeah, it's like, you know, I've got a couple of tops like yours, the feeder. You know, I'm wearing the stuff I want to wear. I'm looking good. I've just bought a car, right, literally this morning from just outside Bristol. And it's a car I've always liked. And the fella didn't want to sell it, but he's been ill. And he went, he goes, it was £3,000 when I bought it. He goes, but I go, you can have it for 800 quid. And I was like, fucking yeah, mate. So that's where we were this morning. We went over and got it. I've got to go and get it MOT'd and all that. So it's still on his drive. But I've got a car and I like this car. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to be amazing. So it's right. It's that. Do the things that bring you joy.
Absolutely. And that makes you you.
Yeah. I'm so happy.
It's your stuff. What car is it then?
It's a Mitsubishi Galant. Now, it doesn't sound very cool. Well, I'm telling you now.
Person. So no. It probably is, mate. I don't know. But
let me tell you. It's an estate car as well. So it's proper dad car. But I'm telling you, it's going to look the bollocks. I'm going to look the bollocks driving it.
And look at the smile on your face, mate, when you're talking about it.
This is it. So this morning, last night, Jace, we had a few drinks after the gig. It's one of those times when you're with special people. So yeah, there's the other acts. There was Jared, who's the MC, who's Giggy is, and there was Gareth and his missus, then the other comic, and then there was their agent, Charlotte, and then we were all just sitting around and the wine was flowing, and we were up till 3 o'clock this morning, still at it. I literally fell asleep and tipped wine all down myself, and that's when I had to go to bed. But and then bless Gareth and his missus, they got up and drove me to go and look at this car an hour away from here. Beautiful. And they said the same thing, because we're all hanging, and they said the best thing about it was when you walked out of that house and you had your arms in the air, and you were smiling and waving, because we've never seen happiness like it. It was totally worth it. And that's it. That's being pleased with people. Mate. Yeah.
Yes. Beautiful. It's lovely to see you happy like that. And just like what they said.
Yeah.
Buying a car.
Yeah.
And it was a brand car. But it makes you happy. That piece of more valuable than money, my friend.
True.
Joy. Whatever your passions may be. And your kids, of course, is going to bring you joy when they let you sleep.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I've already got kids. They're older now. They're 32 and 26, nearly 27. So this is me having another go. And I already feel the little lad that I've got now, the boys, they've always filled me with joy. And now I've got more joy. And it's so, man, I'm having a good time. I'm having a good time. And that's the thing. You know, you're in a good place now. Once you get your, once you have your operation,
yes. Oh, Christ, mate. Yes. Yeah. I've got this thing. It's called Moralgia Palsterica. What a stupid fucking name for something that hurts. And basically, the outside of my there's a nerve that goes down your back through your groin, splits out into your thighs, the outer bits of your thigh, just there. But this nerve is the something called TS nerve, some daft name again, stupidness. so it's blocked, broke somewhere. I've had all the flipping scans, even the one that the ladies have, the pregnant ladies. Fucking morning, let me tell you. Christ, getting a scan there, you have to take everything off. But they can't find where it is. So I'm medicated to the hilt, you know, making Charlie Sheen look like a fucking amateur with all the stuff that I'm on. And I've asked him now to just snip the bloody nerve. I'll have numb thighs, but I won't know myself again then, because I can sleep and stuff. But I don't moan about it. I hate to moan about things like that, because my friend, look where he is.
That's true.
This isn't going to kill me. It's just a pain in the ass, fucking literally.
Yeah.
Pain in the arse. but they can snip it out. And get back to bloody normal. I've had it for 10 years now, mate.
No, bloody hell, mate. That's a long time. I mean, I've got a, this is a terrible thing to say. I've got every now and again, I get a pile that pops out.
Life.
It's an old party injury. It's an old party injury.
That sounds like a good party, mate.
Oh, yeah, it wasn't anything going up. It was just the fact that I hit it too hard and basically blew my ring out one night. So now, every now and again, it plays up. And
you do things proper, don't you?
I do.
That sounds painful anyway.
It's not ideal. So I would tell anyone, if you're going to party, be careful.
Yes.
Yeah, the body is robust, but only to a point.
Yes. It's a machine that can be broken intimately.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. Yes, it can. But we're talking about grief. And this is we talk about, we go, yeah, no, I've got this, but, you know, I'm not, at least I'm still here and I'm still kicking. It's the thing with, you know, we feel bad when people do that to themselves and they take themselves off. And it is such a tragedy. Yeah. But at the end of the day, sometimes you didn't even know. You didn't know that was going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing you could have done.
Absolutely nothing. And it's our age, which I don't know what your age is. I guess we're similar age, you and I, but
I'm 52.
I'm 49, so we certainly are. And we're both in the bracket, strangely enough, because I look into this a bit because of the trauma thing that I do. Mm. Sort of middle-aged men, suicide rate is horrible. It's really, really high. And last year, I think four friends of mine commit suicide.
Right.
Yeah. And none of them were known. They just took themselves off and did what they did. And they had families too. So imagine we all get down. Imagine being so down that you do that, even when you've got a family.
Yeah.
It's horrific. But it's in, especially with blokes. I don't know why us blokes are just probably wired not to get shit out when we should do. I guess it's easier when you get older because you don't give a fuck. Well, I certainly don't about with people like me anymore, you know. You just it's a lot easier than when you're younger, when you want everybody to like you. But for men, yeah, it's hard. But I mean, saying that, one of them was a lady. So,
wow, mate.
Yeah, the punishment your mind can do to you
can
be fatal. So like I said earlier, if you've got whatever joy you know that you love, go and grab it and get fucking loads of it.
Yeah.
Whatever it may be, your family, a car, clobber.
Yeah.
You know, wine, watching Only Fools and Horses, whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever makes you happy.
It's funny when you're talking about our age, and I think because I'm struggling with it a little bit. I love being older. I was talking about this yesterday.
Yeah, I do now.
I mean, there's a lot of it where I'm going, I'm quite happy with it because people kind of look at me now and they're like, oh, I hope I look like you when I'm older, like the way we dress and things like that. And they're like, yeah, you go, yeah, just because you're a bit older, you don't have to, you can still dress nice. You don't have to worry about what you think you should be dressing like. Wear what you want.
Yeah.
And it's, but then there's the other side of it where I'm like, fuck, I'm 52. Oh, I'm going to be 60 soon. Oh, shit. And you start to worry and you go, and then you go, oh my God, and then I'll be 70. And then I'll probably won't go much past. And yeah.
That's what I mean about thinking about the future. It's like it can be fucking depressing if you do.
Yeah.
Because we're middle aged. Even that sounds crazy, mate. I don't know about you, but I'm a 16-year-old boy in my head.
In
every aspect of my life, apart from my work, everything else, I'm a child. Ask my wife. I mean, I don't have any children, but thank God for that, because she's got me to raise and live with and all the rest of it.
Yeah,
but your body's not the same, is it? You know, your body's just a machine. It falls apart. The hair falls out. You've got fantastic hair, by the way. Oh, I've got about two strands on mine. But yeah, you're definitely looking good for your age, mate. I've got a clobber on to do that.
Nah, you look great, mate. You look great. Yeah. You've got it all going on. It's lovely. I think that's it. I think people need to, you got to just chill out a little bit. When you get to this age, you can't jump over walls like you used to be able to, but... You know, think about what you can do. Focus on what you can do.
And what you love doing.
Yeah, and the fact that you've discovered poetry like later on.
Yeah, madness.
In life. Yeah.
And that's my thing now, and people know me from it. And like I say, I'm on the bloody BBC tonight on Saturday, and I've got a gig thing on Tuesday. So it's definitely, I think if I would be lucky enough, I would like to do this all the time, you know, full time. I mean, I do it all the time anyway, because I don't sleep. I just write to, if I didn't have this, I would have gone insane a long, long time ago.
Well, I was going to say, like, how do you, being a grief, what did you say you were, a grief counsellor? No, you're a...
It's a trauma. I'm a trauma practitioner. Right. So people with trauma, I have a meeting with them and they tell me what the trauma is. And as you can imagine, they can be horrific things in the social work world, especially the kids.
Of course.
That can make a mark inside of you. And it's like I said, it's good to get it out. I'm not going to cure anybody. And I'm not a counsellor, but I am a trim practitioner. So I've been trained to sort of help. And I collect the information from them. And I kind of score it as to the level of stress factors that they've got, and advise them or signpost them from there. And then I'll see them again in 4 weeks and have another conversation, and we kind of score it again, and I see what the difference is between the first meeting and the second. And you know, if it's still the same or it's gone up, then there's something deep needs to be addressed now, stopped before it gets any worse, where the counselling would come in, the professionals would come in. If it's less, and most of the time, 9 times out of 10, thankfully, it is. Because if something's happening in your life, which is horrific and stuff, straight away, you're a mess, aren't you? You've got no control, this has happened, and you don't know what to do. 4 weeks later, hopefully, it's not as bad. It's still there. But the levels come down a bit, so it's a little bit more manageable, like we spoke about earlier, really, with grief. Trauma's the same. Trauma's horrific.
Right.
Some of the things I've heard, goodness me. But it's dealing with it. It's dealing with your trauma and your grief.
So it's the same, something like you say. Like you say, you've got to learn to, it's never going to go, but you've just got to learn to package it, keep it, learn to find a way to hold it without it being in the way of everything.
Yeah. And that most of the time is even talking about it. Like, they don't know me. Mostly I won't do it if I know them, because it wouldn't be the same. They wouldn't give me the honesty.
No.
But like this, Rich, we're strangers, so to speak. I never met you before. You're obviously a fantastic bloke. You and I are talking, and I've told you about my inner stuff in here, the most personal stuff I've got, I've told you, and I've not been worried about it at all. No. And I guarantee you, when I get off of this, apart from you being a lovely chap and charismatic and stuff, I know I'm going to feel happy.
Same. I'm going to feel, because this, so I said this, I was talking about, again, these are one of the many conversations that were flying around last night. The other act that I'm on with, a young lad called Gareth Much, the first day I met him, I felt like I'd known him years. We just had the best time. We were just immediately connected. And I feel like with you, it's like, I feel really good talking to you. I'm like,
yeah.
And I'm like, way. I mean, even though I'm like, it's only Trowbridge. Right. We're going to meet up. We're going to have coffee. Yeah. We're going to do something. Yeah. We're going to do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, mate. Anytime you like. Your pleasure.
Bloody right,
absolute
mate.
Absolute pleasure, mate.
We're talking about club. We're talking about, it's good. So that's more joy. Yeah, exactly. You know,
like-minded person.
Yeah.
It looks amazing. Smells lovely. I bet you're covered in brute. I know it, mate. I know it.
Used to be years ago. Brute, Packer of Band.
Old Spice now.
Old Spice, bringing it back.
Yeah.
But you're, how do you put aside, because you have to put it aside, how do you put aside what you've heard, these poor, especially children as well, when you hear what they've been through?
Yeah.
How do you put that to one side?
Well, I've got a trim manager, so to speak, who would deal with me if I were hearing that, which you're absolutely right. I have, funny enough, it was my first one as well. And I was nervous as hell because I didn't want to get anything wrong, especially if somebody's opening up like that, tragic event. And the first one I had was the worst thing you could ever imagine.
Oh, God. All right. Yeah.
It was a child thing, and it was the worst thing you could ever imagine. So it knocked me fucking six, and I held myself completely because I was helping this person. I didn't care about me. And I mean, luckily I was okay, I think. And sadly, this is probably true for a lot of people, because of the things that's happened to me before, although it was horrific, I could hold it and deal with it.
Yeah.
And just think about that person, how they're feeling. I could put it there. So I still have my eye on it and we'd look after it afterwards. Just try and advise that person or just listen. Just them getting it out is a start to, you know, to start to recovery. But I do have a manager. If I needed to get it out of me, my manager would help me in that respect. So it's called trim, and most places have, I'm not saying it now, most places, a lot of big companies do have it now. It started in the army. And it's about dealing with trauma, and it's sort of growing a lot of places now, like lifeboat places have got it because they can see horrific things. Like I say, a lot of big companies, ambulance offices and stuff, I'm additioning it out now because traumas are an absolutely horrific thing. And what do you do? It's compartmentalizing the pain somewhere. Try and lock that door and deal with it and then get on with your life kind of thing. But we all do it, and most people do it without even knowing. We're talking about it now and saying this is how we do it ourselves, and but they do it, we all do it naturally. It's just some people get lost a lot sometimes and don't know what to do, so the conversation might help them.
But there's that thing that people say. I remember someone telling me this years ago, and I have mentioned it on here before. They say when someone suddenly isn't around anymore. So if they're ill, you can probably tell them how you're feeling and what's going on, and you know, you can say goodbye. Yeah. But if someone just suddenly, one minute they're there, next minute they're not, there's a lot of unanswered questions, a lot of things that you want to say. And what they say is to write a letter.
Yes.
And then either post it or throw it in the fire and it goes up, or just at least write it down and get it so it's out.
Absolutely, mate.
Yeah.
And as crazy as it sounds, I'll speak to him sometimes. You know, if I see something, I'll do it even right in my own head, just say, you know, Maff would have liked that, or something would remind me of my nan all the time. It could be, I don't know, an advert on the telly, or especially a song. Songs just remind you of certain events in your life, don't they? What be good, bad?
Yeah.
Or, but my uncle, one of my uncles died, God bless him, Chris. He was massively into the Eagles, as am I. And he went into hospital to get something done with his leg, and he didn't come out. His heart just gave way. Yeah, we had a bad heart anyway, but that was just... So I wrote a poem for him, and it was all as well. I got in as much Eagles songs as I could in this
poem. Oh, yeah.
Just for him, because I know he would have loved that. He would have been into poetry. It could be soft or something like that, being into poetry, but he would have loved that. And
yeah.
I speak to my nan sometimes. Yeah, I speak to... These are my dead cats, should I say, but these are my past cats.
Oh, right, okay.
I love cats, bitch. Don't tell no one, right?
I'll tell no one. I'll keep it to myself.
Wreck my image, mate. But I do. And we've got four here. I haven't got any kids, you see, me and my wife, Katie. But we have cats, so they are our kids. Nice. And I talk to them all the time.
Yeah.
Probably talk to my cats more than my wife, should tell you that.
I was crossing the road the other day. And I realised, as I was crossing the road, I was chatting away to myself. this is what happens. This is when I was younger. You just see older people chat. And I was just, in the end, I'm going, yeah, I need to go and do that. Oh, no, hang on, wait. Go and do that first and then do the thing.
Yeah, mate.
chat. But it's I do. I'm always talking, you know, I say to me, I'm always, well, this is it, because when you pick up my little baby, and I don't know if he can, what's happening, because he just looks at the corner of the room and he's laughing his head off, laughing. And I'm like, who are you looking at? I'm like, is that Nan? Are you looking at Nan? So it's either, it could be my Nan or it could be my wife's Nan. He's gurgling and then he's laughing. So and now I'm like, thought, it's beautiful, isn't it? And then I'm like, oh, can you see Nanny? Is that Nanny? All right, Nanny, he's beautiful, isn't he? Isn't he lovely?
Yeah,
having a chat with Nanny on my own.
There's nothing wrong with that, mate. Because that just goes to show what you're like. You would have loved your Nan, that you adored, to see your baby. That's saying to me, and I like to think that way too, you know. I'm not one that sort of believes in lots of these ghost things that I see, but I do believe that they're about somehow, or you know, it's just you have to think that way sometimes, I think, because
I think they do. I think
be very lonely.
Well, this is it, and I like the fact that now that I think that, now I know they're not queuing up to come and see us and have a chat, but I think it's like, you know, they're like, right,
they
I'll
should
go.
Be.
Yeah, I think it's just a case of something happens, the vibrations go a certain way, and then they kind of appear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And around you at some point. It's not all the time, but every now and again they'll just they'll pop up.
Absolutely.
Which I think, and it makes the world. I love that. One of the saddest things, I've said this before, was when I realized that magic wasn't real. And I'm thinking about, you know, not necessarily ghosts, as you said, but energy. They're around.
Yeah.
That makes the world feel a bit more magical again.
Yeah. And a little bit less dark. A lot of people would probably think my poetry is quite sad and dark in that respect, but it might be. But it's like you say, we don't know what's around. The songs, especially for me, I've heard an Eagle song, any Eagle song, I think straight away I think of my uncle.
Yeah.
And I smile.
Beautiful.
And I smile. When my granddad went, mate, there was bells ringing at the time, weirdly. Mm. Every time I walk past the church and I hear them bells, I smile and I say, all right, granddad. But I'm happy doing that. So don't hurt anybody. Talk to myself, talk to some bells, talk to Don Henley and the crew. makes things easier, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course, man. So have you got a poem that you'd like to do on here for now? Have you got one? Would you do it?
I would.
You don't have to. I'll put you on the spot. You don't have to.
No, mate, I would do that for you, but this is my searching for face.
We've all got that. Got that.
I'll smile and look
dashingly
handsome. Well, I'm looking. I tell you what, then. I'll give you the ghost, mate. There's Empty Chair, which was about my nan, God bless. Mm. And I've got one which I did write about my friend Matt, who sadly took his life. That one's called Through Your Veins.
Okay.
Which one do you want?
Oh, blimey.
what a choice, mate.
Yeah.
What delightful choices I give you.
I think Empty Chair, because you've mentioned it a couple of times.
Okay, buddy. Let me find that then. Right, okay. Yeah. Here we go. Empty Chair. So, the house seems so much darker. The sounds are somewhat grey. The happiness of living left home with you that day. The pictures still remind me that you were really there. But all that I can see now is your favourite. Empty chair. My whole life I have known you, but now you've gone away. My memories are like movies, and in my mind is where they play. Life carries on regardless. They say it gets easier to bear. But they haven't been to my house and seen your empty chair. I'm not sure I should move it. What if you're still here? I know your body is laid to rest, but is your soul and spirit near? I make sure that it's nice and clean. It eases my despair. To think that somehow you live on in your favourite empty chair. They say that time's a healer. I'm not sure that that's true. But everywhere I go in life, my thoughts return to you. My heart is always lonely, but I'm too lost to care. I'll carry on just sitting here in your once favourite empty chair.
Mate.
Do you feel that?
Beautiful. Oh my God. Yeah. Mate,
that's my nan's chair. Yeah, do you know what? I tell you that was a story when I was on a bath radio a while ago now, and they said to give them three poems and to read them, but I couldn't read them because I was brand new to all of this, and I know for a fact if I read that, I feel it. I'm holding it back. I'm looking manly with my feeler and stuff, you know, girl. But yeah, you feel it, don't you?
Yeah, I felt it, mate. When you, oh my God, I could see the chair. I could see everything. It felt, I could feel it, mate. I could feel the upholstery. I could feel it. It's, yeah, mate, that was lovely. That's a beautiful way to finish. So where are you going to be, Jason? Where are you going to be next week?
I have got my first live gig, so I'm like a rock star. I'm a rock star poet. Lounges TV. The link is in my bio on my social media. I've got half an hour of brand new material, stuff like Empty Chair. That might even be in it because that's one of the favourites. Unpublished stuff. So people want to grab a ticket and come see me. It would be lovely. I'd love to share this crazy journey that I'm on with my friends.
Lovely. And where can we find you on the socials?
On my Instagram, and I am also on Facebook mainly. Yes, yeah, basically those two. I'm on Twitter, but I don't really use it that much. But so Instagram and Facebook. At Jace Delaney on Instagram, Jace Delaney and Jason Delaney's poetry on Facebook. Sorry.
Fantastic. Jace Delaney, this has been amazing. Thank you for joining us today. And we are going to meet up, have that coffee or a cup of tea.
Yes, we are, my friend.
Because we're going to be neighbours. Yeah, love that. So this has been Insane in the Membrane. Thank you for listening to us. This has been Jace Delaney, and we'll see you next time.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.